His childhood girlfriend thought he was sweet and dated him because everyone else liked him. As an adult, his friends thought he was always working on himself, looking within and giving to charity. No one suspected he was behind a decades-old cold case, the murder of his childhood girlfriend's mom. This is the story of Eugene Gligor, the DC killer who was caught thanks to a discarded water bottle. Hi, friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. On May 2, 2001, 49-year-old Leslie Jennings Prier didn't show up for her advertising production job at 10 a.m. Her office called her husband to make sure she was okay, but all he knew was that everything seemed normal when he last saw her when he left for work before 8 a.m. He expected her to hop on a bus and take it to work soon after he was gone. Leslie's boss and her husband, Carl Prier, went back to the home he shared with Leslie in Chevy Chase, a wealthy area outside of Washington, D.C. There was blood at the entrance of the two-story brick house, so her boss called 911 while they went to wait outside. Officers found Leslie dead upstairs in the primary bedroom. At first, the police said it wasn't an obvious homicide, describing the foyer of the home as having blood marks. They thought Leslie may have had an accident or taken her own life. But 3 days later, after an autopsy, they were changing their tune. The Montgomery County Police said Leslie had died due to blunt force trauma and strangulation, that there were signs of a struggle, and that, actually, there was a significant amount of blood on the walls and floor. The head of the Major Crimes Division said, "When we walk through the door, sometimes it doesn't jump out at us immediately." But blue light had eventually revealed just how much blood someone had tried to clean up at the crime scene. The police concluded that someone had attacked Leslie in the entrance of the house, smashed her head against the baseboards near the floor and strangled her, and then left her in the bathroom shower stall upstairs. She had deep bruises on her neck and 7 cuts to the head. The way she was lying face down with her legs hanging out of the shower, it looked like someone had tried to wash her off. Leslie was born on October 5, 1951, in Rhode Island, one of 8 children. Her military dad moved them to Pensacola, Florida in 1963, and Leslie stayed there through college at the University of Florida. I'm guessing that's where she met her future husband, Carl Prier, since he also went to school there. Leslie and Carl married in 1974 and moved to the D.C. area in 1982. Their daughter, 23-year-old Lauren, was a student when Leslie died. Her family said they would cherish the memory of her sensitivity and kindness. The local police formed a task force after Leslie's murder because 6 women had been killed in the area in the previous months with not one of their cases solved. The authorities didn't believe there was a serial killer, but they wanted to give special attention to the murders to put a stop to them. But neither the task force nor any of the other investigators could make sense of Leslie's case. They knew the husband didn't do it, for once, and they knew there was DNA left under her fingernails as she fought off her attacker. That DNA matched 3 other samples left at the scene under the dining room baseboard, in the kitchen doorway, and on the door to the backyard. But the DNA didn't match anyone on file. The case went cold, although the county police never gave up. They issued a press release in May 2022, 2 decades after Leslie's death, asking for new information and offering a reward.
Lauren Elizabeth Prier is Leslie's daughter. 21 years later, she says this loss still hurts.
It was unreal. I mean, it was just, she was my best friend. And like, I think about her and I dream about her all the time, like the way she was. And she was such a wonderful mother. And that's how I remember her.
And the police really meant that they were still working the case. Later that year, blood from the crime scene was submitted to a lab for forensic genetic genealogical DNA analysis. Using an existing registry of samples submitted to ancestry research companies, they linked DNA from under Leslie's fingernails to 2 women in Romania who were loosely related to their suspect. And it took almost 2 years, but a detective drew up a family tree from there and found that one of the branches extended into the United States. distant family members in America had the last name Gligor, and it was a name that was already familiar to the police. Written down in their case file from 20-plus years ago was a tip: look into Eugene Gligor. Detectives needed to collect his DNA to be sure he was their guy, so when he flew back to the U.S. from a trip abroad, they had customs agents put him in a room for some secondary screening. While he waited, he picked up a bottle of water from the table, drank it, and left it behind. Of course, the authorities were able to get a DNA sample from the bottle, matched it to the sample from under Leslie's fingernails, and left Gligor nothing to do but confess. Eugene Theodore Gligor grew up a 10-minute walk from the Prier family. His dad is an engineering professor with his own Wikipedia page, and his mom is evidently important enough that her second marriage was written up in the New York Times. He had dated Leslie's daughter, Lauren, in high school in the 90s for about 5 years, starting when she was 15 or 16. Their friends were friends with each other, everyone liked him, and he was supposedly good-looking. She remembers him as outgoing and sweet. Gligor had gone on to get married and divorced and married and divorced again. He worked in real estate and then became an account executive at a video surveillance firm. And now, at 44 years old, he lived in what the Washington Post called Washington's trendy U Street corridor. Friends said he was warm and outgoing, always working on himself and his personal growth. One coworker said, "I couldn't imagine him hurting a fly." When someone had asked him after Leslie's murder who he thought did it, he said with a steady gaze, "Your guess is as good as mine." Of course, even the most zen of us will fight being hauled off to prison, so Gligor denied everything at first. When he was finally arrested in June 2024, he told one detective, "I asked for legal representation, and you guys are very smug, looking at me like I've done something. And of course, it's innocent until proven guilty, right? Am I wrong or right? And I don't need to see the interrogation footage to know who was the smug one here." My favorite bit of the interview is when detectives asked him if he remembered Leslie Prier, and he said, I'm a little confused. So to find out more and talk to me, why not just call me and ask me to come in and talk? I mean, I feel a little bit trapped here." And the detective said, "Well, you're under arrest. You should feel trapped." Gligor was charged with first-degree murder, and his lawyers immediately set to work on a flurry of motions to get the DNA evidence thrown out. They said it violated his constitutional right against search and seizure to have his sample collected in a ruse at the airport. But they must have known how the judge would rule on that, because in May 2025, Gligor pleaded guilty to second-degree murder. It's unclear if he was ever on the police's radar as anything more than a mention. A neighbor had provided a tip to the police the year after Leslie's murder when nothing else had materialized. This person said they thought the 21-year-old may be somehow related to the Leslie Prier murder because the cops were regularly at his family's house to deal with underage drinking and drug use. And of course, he was Lauren's ex-boyfriend. Lauren and Eugene Gligor weren't dating when Leslie was killed, but it hadn't been some contentious breakup. They tried a long-distance thing while he was in college for a couple of years, but both decided it was better to split. They remained on good terms and saw each other at events with mutual friends. Lauren says that at the time he would have killed her mom, they were both dating other people. Gligor got into a little bit of trouble with shoplifting and drugs as a teenager when his parents were going through a difficult divorce, and he later struggled with alcohol, but friends said he had been to rehab and had left that part of his life behind. They saw him giving money to charity. They thought of him as introspective and positive. They didn't know that his second wife had accused him of yelling at her while throwing things and punching walls. They hadn't seen the way he could be condescending and superior at work. They didn't know that his brother was worried Gligor would hurt him. None of this is really a motive for killing Leslie, though. The police never collected DNA from Gligor in the early 2000s, but Lauren said her dad always said there was something off about him. Carl Prier died in 2017 and never got to see his wife's murder solved. Their daughter, Lauren, is now almost as old as Leslie was when she died. She remembers how Gligor was at home in her parents' house while they dated and the pasta meals her mom cooked for him. She remembers the games of life and Parcheesi they played when he tagged along on family vacations to East Coast beaches.
Since her mother's murder, Lauren tells me she bumped into Gligor a year ago at a restaurant in D.C.
I've spoken to him. He didn't seem weird and how you can look somebody in the eye and knowing that you committed this crime and act like nothing happened is pretty unreal.
Gligor didn't come to Leslie's funeral, so when Lauren ran into him at a bar a while later, she told him her mom had died. He said convincingly, "I'm so sorry." Evidently not sorry enough to confess right away, though, and not sorry enough to ever try to explain why he did it. This is absolutely just a guess on my part, but Gligor had been a suspect in burglaries from around town, so I wonder if he broke into the Prier home and was surprised to find Leslie there and acted on impulse. He'll be sentenced in August, but he'll avoid life in prison with his guilty plea to the lesser charge. He's expected to get a maximum of 30 years. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.